Good morning, it is January the 4th, 2026, in the year of our Lord, and the title for my message is, Let the Light Shine. My first reading comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 7 through 14. This is what the Lord says, Sing with joy for Jacob, shout for the foremost of the nations, make your praises heard and say, Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble. Because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn son. Hear the word of the Lord, you nations, proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will deliver Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord. The grain, the new wine, and the olive oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like well water. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Then young women will dance and be glad, and young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. And then my New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John, Chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, the prologue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out saying, This is the one I spoke about when I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Let the light shine. Of the four canonical Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John's Gospel makes the most astounding and profound theological statements of them all concerning Jesus Christ. His prologue, what I just read, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, has no equal in the New Testament. Although John wrote the prologue with very simple vocabulary in the New Testament, the truths that the prologue teaches and expound upon are amazingly rich with depth and meaning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made.
Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, different New Testament translations on verse 5 stand out. However, the Amplified translation written has been written this way for verse 5. The light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it or overpower it or appropriate it or absorb it and is unreceptive to it. It's a pretty very interesting translation for verse 5 in the Amplified translation. You know, some Christian writers think the Amplified translation has the most definitive statement on verse 5. That remains to be seen, and maybe that's up for the listener to decide for themselves. Here are some themes that I read from the prologue of John. Light and darkness are major themes not only in the book of Genesis, which pertain to creation and the physical world, but they also have their spiritual genesis at the beginning again with the coming of Christ into our world, and that is in John chapter 1. There is a connection. A spiritual bridge has been created between Genesis 1 and John 1. So let me go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. You know, darkness in the natural world has a function and purpose that scientists are still in the process of discovering. In the physical realm, darkness supports light, and we know that light is best seen in the darkness. So when God created darkness, it had a specific function to irradiate light in the most brilliant manner possible. In the physical realm of creation, darkness had its purpose in the universe. You know, when I was a kid, we would make trips in the summertime to what are called the Bear Caves in the Allegheny State Park in New York. Now, these caves weren't really caves. They were small holes you could crawl in on your hands and knees. Then if you go back further enough, you could stand up. But it was very narrow. And if you go all the way to the back, if you don't have a flashlight or some type of apparatus to give you light, it is unnerving because of the darkness. It's so dark in there that you cannot see your hand in front of your face. And if you stay in there long enough, your mind gets the best of you, and the darkness seems to crowd out your very memory of light. In a few short verses, we read of the demarcation and the delineation of light and darkness into days, seasons, and functions. And we read that there was harmony in the creation account. Note that Genesis 1 verse 31 has a beautiful summary of the creation account. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. But something happened. That struggle between light and darkness has carried over into the spiritual realm. And there has been a literal war for the souls of men and women down through the ages. If anyone has a rudimentary reading and understanding of the Garden of Eden, and the first two human beings who have the generic names of Adam and Eve, we know what has transpired. This war for the souls of men and women may have begun in the garden, wherein they are allowed darkness through the serpent to overcome the light of God in and around them. With the coming of Jesus, we find God reestablishing the power and supremacy of God's light in the souls of humanity. God is not recreating the physical world and universe again, as we read in Genesis 1. God is reconfiguring the souls and hearts of humanity into something new and glorious. Because there is so much darkness in our world that the light is threatened to be blown out for good. Technology is neutral, but can and will be used for good and noble purposes or for evil, nefarious ends. AI, or artificial intelligence, is the latest manifestation of this, preceded by medicine, using viruses, which was preceded by the internet, which was preceded by the atomic age, which was preceded by gunpowder and firearms, etc., etc., etc. Humanity, because of its fallen nature, takes technology. And that technology can be used for the benefit of all. Or that technology can be used as a weapon of mass destruction, a way to kill your brother or sister. And human history has proven that again and again and again. The beauty and the power of John's prologue is very simple. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In other words, it cannot snuff it out, absorb it, overpower it, etc. For those of us in the new creation in Christ, in other words, for those of us who have been born again, for those of us who have made a confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is living and breathing in you. And if Jesus is living and breathing in you, there should be no spiritual darkness. And spiritual darkness can never, ever overcome or overshadow or blow out the light that God has put into your soul, into your heart, and into your mind. You may know or have people in your life that might try to overpower your life and the light in it by Christ. They might try to coerce you, intimidate you, harangue you. They might use physical or psychological intimidation. But ladies and gentlemen, we do not have to let them reduce the light that is in us because of Christ to a small glow, a flickering light. And I would say to those who are listening, do not give those who oppress you, who are trying to intimidate you, who are trying to coerce you, do not give them any satisfaction in doing so. Let your light shine, and let it shine brilliantly for all to see. Why have so many Christians and churches become afraid? Not only are they afraid, but they are fearful. Some have become suspicious and even paranoid. Not only in North America, but maybe more so in Europe. People are afraid to walk their neighborhood streets in darkness for fear of their lives, whether in the United States or for that matter in the UK. Far too many of God's people are intimidated and fearful and running scared because it seems darkness has overcome us. We need to stop trying to fit in with those groups, those individuals, those companies and organizations that outright oppose and are trying to overcome God's light by forcing their demonic agenda and worldview not only on Christians, but on everyone. I understand living in our current world that sometimes you have to go along to get along. I get that. I'm not unaware of that. But I would also say you don't have to become a sellout either to your faith. In other words, let me put it this way. Don't trade in your soul for a few moments of cheap grace. Nobody likes to be suckered into buying a lemon and being lied to. And that is what the world does when it wants us to compromise and to reject our faith in what it stands for. We have to give in or acquiesce to their demands. And I say to them, you go pound sand. God has given us through Christ a light, a brilliant light. And that light is to shine at all times. It is to especially shine when it's the darkest out. So everyone listening, smile, take a deep breath, and keep letting your light shine. Don't turn it off. Don't put it out. Don't let the spiritual, the physical, the emotional, and the psychological forces and powers intimidate you, or try to annihilate you, or saturate you, or legislate you, or repudiate you. Let your light shine. Use what God has given you, or lose what God has given you. Let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Let your light shine. Amen.